Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Tuesday, October 8th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a fascinating new study on psilocybin. Let's dive right in, shall we? Eric, what's your take on this research?
Well, Ted, I've got to say, these findings are mind-blowing. The study showed that rats given psilocybin, you know, the magic mushroom compound, displayed increased optimism and motivation for tasks. It's not just a fleeting effect either. We're talking long-lasting behavioral changes here. This could be a game changer for treating depression, folks.
Hold your horses, Eric. We can't just leap from rat behavior to human depression.
It's not a leap, Kate. Animal studies are the cornerstone of medical research. The increased engagement in reward-based tasks we're seeing in these rats is incredibly promising. It's giving us valuable insights.
But psilocybin is a powerful psychedelic, Eric. We can't ignore the potential risks and side effects.
You both raise interesting points. Can we delve a bit deeper into the methodology used in this study? Eric, would you like to start?
Absolutely, Ted. The researchers employed some pretty sophisticated computational modeling to observe the rats' behavior after they were given psilocybin. This isn't just watching rats run around a maze. We're talking about complex analysis of their decision-making processes and motivational states.
That's correct, but let's not get carried away here. Computational models have their limitations. They can't fully capture the intricate workings of the brain, especially when it comes to something as complex as depression. We need to be careful about overinterpreting these results.
I hear you, Kate, but the key thing here is the long-lasting effects on behavior. This isn't just a temporary high. The rats showed sustained changes in their approach to tasks. That's huge because it suggests psilocybin might be able to address core symptoms of depression like apathy and withdrawal. We're talking about potentially rewiring the brain's reward system.
Long-lasting effects could also mean long-lasting negative consequences. We need to be extremely cautious. What if these
interesting debate. Let's focus on the specific tasks the rats performed. How do you both see these relating to human behavior?
Great question, Ted. The rats were engaged in reward-based tasks, which we can view as analogous to human motivation and goal-seeking behavior. It's like when we push ourselves to complete a project or pursue a personal goal. The increased engagement we're seeing in the rats could translate to improved motivation and reduced anhedonia in humans with depression.
That's an oversimplification, Eric. Human depression is far more complex than simple reward-seeking behavior in rats. We're talking about a multifaceted disorder involving emotions, cognition, and social factors.
Let's look at this study in a broader context. Can either of you think of any similar historic events in psychedelic research that might provide some perspective?
Absolutely, Ted. This immediately brings to mind the groundbreaking LSD studies conducted by Dr. Albert Hoffman in the 1940s and 50s. Hoffman's work was revolutionary. He accidentally discovered LSD's psychoactive properties in 1943 and went on to conduct extensive research on its effects. It opened up a whole new world of understanding about the human mind and consciousness.
Oh, please, those studies were riddled with ethical issues and lack of scientific rigor. Let's not romanticize the past. The 60s and 70s.
On the contrary, Kate, Hoffman's work laid the foundation for understanding psychedelics. Yes, there were issues, but that's precisely why this new psilocybin research is so important. It's being conducted with proper scientific methods and
we still need to be cautious. The history of psychedelic research is full of hype and unfulfilled promises. Remember Timothy Leary? His irresponsible promotion of LSD.
You both make compelling points. How does this current psilocybin study differ from past psychedelic research?
The key difference here, Ted, is the use of advanced computational modeling and the focus on specific behavioral outcomes. Unlike earlier, more subjective research, this study is quantifying the effects of psilocybin on motivation and decision-making. It's a much more rigorous approach that allows for better replication and analysis.
It's still animal research, Eric. We can't assume these results will translate to humans. The human brain is infinitely more complex, and depression involves psychological and social factors that can't be modeled in rats. We need to be extremely cautious about extrapolating these findings.
I agree, we need to be cautious, Kate, but this study provides a crucial starting point for human trials, which are already underway in some places. It's giving us valuable insights into the potential mechanisms of action for psilocybin in treating depression. We're not talking about jumping straight to human use. This is how responsible drug development works.
Those trials need to be closely monitored for safety and efficacy. We can't afford to cut corners when it comes to mental health treatments. The stakes are too high.
Looking to the future, how do you both see this research potentially impacting mental health treatment?
I believe this could lead to a revolution in treating depression, Ted. Psilocybin might offer a new approach for patients who don't respond to current treatments. Imagine a world where we can effectively treat treatment-resistant depression with just a few doses of a naturally occurring compound. It's not just about managing symptoms. We're talking about potentially addressing the root causes of depression.
That's overly optimistic, Eric. We're years away from any approved treatments, if they ever materialize. There are so many hurdles to overcome.
But the potential is enormous, Kate. We're talking about a paradigm shift in mental health treatment. Current antidepressants often come with a host of side effects and don't work for everyone. If psilocybin can offer a more effective...
We need to consider the practical challenges. How would this be administered? What about the risk of abuse? Psilocybin isn't something you can just pick up at your local pharmacy.
You both raise important points. What regulatory hurdles do you foresee for psilocybin-based treatments?
The biggest challenge will be changing the legal status of psilocybin, Ted. It's currently a Schedule I substance in many countries, which severely restricts research. But as more studies like this one come out, I believe regulators will become more open to its potential therapeutic uses. We're already seeing some movement in this direction with the FDA granting breakthrough therapy designation to psilocybin for treatment-resistant depression.
It's not just about legality, Eric. We need long-term safety data and standardized treatment protocols. How do we ensure that psilocybin is used safely and effectively in a clinical setting? What about the potential for psychological dependence or adverse reactions? These are complex issues that won't be resolved overnight.
You're right that there are challenges, Kate, but look at how quickly attitudes towards medical marijuana changed. The same could happen with psilocybin. As more research demonstrates its potential benefits and safety profile, I believe we'll see a shift in both public opinion and regulatory stance. It's about balancing caution with the urgent need for better mental health treatments.
Medical marijuana and psilocybin are very different beasts, Eric. We can't rush into this without considering all the implications. What about the societal impact? The potential for misuse? We need a comprehensive approach that addresses not just the medical aspects, but also the social and ethical considerations.
Nobody's suggesting rushing, Kate, but we shouldn't let fear hold back potentially life-changing treatments. Depression is a devastating illness that affects millions. If psilocybin can offer hope to even a fraction of those people, don't we have an obligation to explore it thoroughly?
We also shouldn't let hype and false hope drive the research. We need to proceed with caution and skepticism. Too often, promising early results don't pan out in larger trials. Let's wait for more robust human studies before we start talking about revolutions in mental health treatment.
Well, folks, it's clear that this psilocybin research has sparked quite a debate. While there's excitement about its potential, there are also valid concerns about safety, regulation, and the challenges of translating animal studies to human treatments. As research continues, we'll undoubtedly learn more about both the promises and pitfalls of psilocybin in mental health treatment. Thanks to Eric and Kate for sharing their insights, and thank you for tuning in to Listen To. Until next time, this is Ted signing off.